Amen. Well, we got the green light, so I want to welcome everyone that is here tonight. We are live, so if you are having your discussions, keep them quiet to a minimum, but I hope that you can log on and listen. We do have those around the world that are logged on. Many, many nations are tuned in about now, and if they're not tuned in now, they do pick up the recording of the pre-recorded message, and then they, you know, listen to it. It's our Wednesday night service, and I'm here with Pastor Sam to my right and Pastor Tim to my left. God has changed our lives, and now we're called to be the apostles of this hour. That's the way I like to put it. You know, but with that same message, we are far from religion, but we do have a name. I mean, we have to recognize ourselves as something here, you know, whether we're called to be prophets of this hour or whatever you may call it, but I look at it as apostolic. We're apostolic, and we are moving forward to this new generation that is coming up, which is called the millennium generation. And we are constantly listening to hear what God is saying in this hour. God's alive, and he's living, and he's moving, and if you look through scripture, and we speak out of the Holy Bible, which is a book that was inspired by the Holy Spirit through men of many ages. And so through that, we pray and seek the Lord and what he wants to say in this hour. And if you look through the scripture, God is always doing something in the stories of the book. He was always doing something. And we are now 2017, the year 2017. Can you believe that? We've been in ministry now for almost 20 years, 20 years. And I would say we were kind of like hidden under the rock. And now we are arising for this hour, and it's time. And so I hope you're listening. I want you to open up your heart. I pray that your eyes are enlightened and you'll be able to see, your ears are able to hear what is being said. And I hope that you are able to be that open-minded individual, because we may be saying some things that are going to really stir you up. Because I know that there are a lot of people out there that have been chewing on, I want to call it, the old manna. And God is alive and living, and he's fresh.
Not getting fed through the old manna.
Yeah, and it's a living water. And we are drinking this living water, and we have a tremendous conviction and a tremendous peace. And I truly feel that, you know, God has groomed us with such a confidence to know what we're speaking about that we're not going to waver. You can't tell us anything different. I don't care if you jump upside down and spin on your head. And we are in a special week right now. It's Passover weekend coming up. And, you know, this is where, you know, they speak about the prophet Jesus and his resurrection and things of that nature. And we feel right now in this hour, in this new generation, we feel that there's a harvest. And, you know, a lot of people think it's the end time harvest. I'm going to tell you, we feel that it's the end time apostles that are raising up leaders for the new generation harvest, the millennium harvest, so that they will be equipped and carry the torch over to the next generation and the next generation. I mean, why would there be a harvest at the end of a generation when we're all going to be leaving that generation? I don't understand. So I think God's taken those that have been buried and been comforted under that rock, and he's raising us up now in this hour. I mean, think about it. And I find this very unique. There's a fire burning inside of us, and God has literally had us renounce other ministries that were going to take us under their wing and give us those benefits of being in public ministry, I guess you want to say.
That's true.
And we denied it because of the doctrine that they were preaching that they wanted us to submit to, when we knew that there it wasn't right. It was time to move on. And has put us under God, I believe he has put us under his wing for 20 years. Almost 20 years.
Yeah.
To be groomed and developed for this hour. Yeah. Now, I want to tell our listeners, back when Jesus came into ministry 2,000 years ago, Jesus began to walk the land and proclaim a message. A message that God gave him, and brought him to a place of conviction and began to speak the message. We call it the gospel or the good news or whatever it might be. And we have a gospel now that God has given us a conviction to begin to speak. And we will let you know what this gospel is shortly after this little introduction. But Jesus came, and in that hour that he came, God spoke to him and began to share with him the knowledge and the revelation of his coming. Now, whether you call this the second coming of Christ, because he had a first coming of Christ with a message, and God was doing something in that hour. Those that were in religion, the religious individuals, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, let's just call them religious leaders or religious leaders, came to him and said, "What is this foreign doctrine that you're speaking? Can you pull that up, Sam? Maybe we can just briefly read what it says in the scripture. You know, what is this doctrine, this foreign doctrine that you come and begin to speak?" So 2,000 years ago, the revelation that God gave Jesus wasn't known in that hour. And I believe this is what's happening with us right now in this hour. And there may be others that were tucked under the rock, you know, and been sitting and waiting to be risen up in this hour. I truly believe that there has been some who have been put in this fire, has been the glory of God has been poured on them, but yet got caught up in those religions, opportunities of ministering, come follow my doctrine, come follow this doctrine, speak what we have, and, you know, we'll set you up with conferences, we'll set you up with, you know, other church meetings.
A lot of networking out there.
Yeah, we'll set you up with networking.
Because they're afraid that God's not going to supply their needs. So they submit to all these different little networks that are happening to get gigs so they can make money, but they're allowing their truth to be tainted.
Yeah, their influence. I truly believe that there was a fire that was burning in them, but because of the influence, they diverted from it.
Exactly.
I saw some individuals, which we won't mention any names, but some of them are out there today, but they're caught into the mainstream. We'll just call it the mainstream.
It's true.
We're waiting on God. We truly believe that God is going to open up the door for this hour, for this message to come. And to just narrate what is being said, that God wants to be worshipped direct. He wants to be glorified and worshipped directly. How many people understand where I'm going here? Okay. Previously, in the past, he was worshipped through the prophets. God was worshipped through the prophets. And Tim can explain what I mean by that.
Well, you know, a lot of religions out there, there's different forms of prophets. You have Jesus was a prophet, and Christianity has made Jesus the prophet into a deity where they worship Jesus. And they glorify Jesus, yet they don't come off of Jesus and go straight to the Father. You know, we speak in here that Jesus Christ is a doorway to the Father. He says, if you come unto me, you can come unto me and then you can go right to the Father, but people stop at Jesus Christ. They don't evolve to the Father and have that intimate relationship with the Father. So Pastor Jim's been speaking a series of messages the last few weeks about there's a radiation of a word that's radiating in the spirit that says, "But Lord, Lord, we did all these things in your name." And he says, "Be gone from me, you workers of iniquity, I never knew you."
Mm-hmm.
And we believe that it's because people stop at the prophet and they're worshiping the prophets rather than worshiping the Father.
Yeah, and God doesn't want any of that.
No.
You know, through my transformation and my visitation, Jesus explained, I was the lamb that was used to be slain. I wasn't, you know, one, I was a servant that was brought. And in Acts, it speaks, Acts 2, Peter speaks that Jesus was a man, that God did miracles, signs, and wonders through him to confirm the message that he was trying to bring through. Jesus' desire was, Father, let them be one with you as we are one with you, as I and the Father are one with you. And so that was always Jesus' desire, to bring the individuals one with God. But for some reason or another, religion or our forefathers just never picked up on that, because of the fact that there are some scripture verses that say, if you know, do this and pray in my name, you know, go and heal the sick and cast out devils in my name. And they just basically took that, which we are trying to show those that are listening, that was just a form of giving them confidence that if you pray in my name, it's like giving credit.
Right.
You know, and God will hear you, you know, if you pray in my name. If you go and cast out devils in my name, it'll give you credit. It'll give you credibility. It'll give you confidence.
It's like going to a bar and you have a doorman at the bar and you drop a name. Hey, I know this guy, and he lets you in.
Exactly right.
You know, it's name dropping.
That's really I like that, name dropping. Yep. So the church stuck with name dropping.
Yep.
And you know, we're name dropping all these prophets. And, you know, and apostles and prophets, you know, men and women of God or whatever, because, you know, look, there's Mary, let's drop a Mary name, you know,
yeah.
There's Peter and Paul and all the name droppers. I like that. I really like that a lot. And it seems like God is saying in this hour, no more name dropping. How many people are understanding what we're saying and where we're going? I think it's an awesome thing because, for one, you know, God wants and desires a relationship with us.
Yep.
And, you know, he has us understanding what prayer is and how to pray. And prayer is a form of attitude where you're carrying yourself in that reverence, knowing that God is the God of creation and
yep.
He has the authority and all power and how to have that broken, contrite heart and that humility and understanding the sound of heaven and being able to pray in the spirit and to have a heart that is heard by God. I mean, how would you like to know that God hears you just because you're broken? You see? You're humble. You have resisted darkness. You overcame fear and worry because you trust in a God that you know is supreme and he created you and gave you a life. I mean, that in itself, all heaven is rejoicing.
Amen.
It's like, that is my son. That is my daughter. That is the one who I'm looking for. I go throughout the world looking for that broken, contrite heart, and here it is. And you don't even have to ask. You know, the Lord just knows your needs prior to you even asking. And this is what God is looking for. He's looking for those that know who he is, who don't have to go to the pillow God like we were talking
yeah.
before, you know, and embrace this false God and then constantly cry out in a prophet's name. God doesn't want to have anything to do with it anymore. He's bringing us to the end of Isaiah. And at the end of Isaiah, it is almost like, rise and shine, for the glory of God has come upon you. You know, it's the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in us. I hope that those out there listening move on, move past the latter days and come into what we've been speaking about prophetically. We feel that God is saying, I'm pouring out new wine.
Yep.
And new wine is new revelation. I don't feel that this is new revelation to us.
No.
We've been soaking in this for 20 years. 20 years we've been soaking in this.
It's all scriptural.
And we had many, many who tried to persecute us, but we have stayed firm to the conviction of our heart.
Yep.
And those who have an ear will hear. And I'm sure that's how Jesus felt 2,000 years ago when he came with this foreign gospel that he was bringing to the ears of those that were hearing. To the point where they got him so mad, they threw him on the cross. But that was the message that Jesus was bringing. Your sins are forgiven. There's no need for you to sacrifice animals. There's no need
rituals.
For you to, yeah, you don't need to shed blood anymore for animals. I'm going to be the lamb now.
Yep.
See, the message of Jesus was like taking away the old wine. And he was taking away the old wineskins and saying it's time to walk in new wine and time to put on the new wineskins and no more shedding of blood on the altar anymore. There's no need for the incense. There is a walk in the spirit and to not conform to the flesh and do all these carnal acts of worship.
Rituals. Because men weren't changing.
Customs. And traditions, that's
men,
right.
Because
they weren't being
changing.
Set free.
They weren't changing the way they were thinking. They were the same sins, the same things over and over again. They were just getting their five chickens and their four goats to go up there and sacrifice them and say, okay, back to sinning again.
That's right. Never it's changed. No different than like Ash Wednesday and Palm Sunday and, you know, all these
rituals.
I'm going to go to Sunday service and ask the Father to forgive
confession.
My sins,
confession.
You know, and put myself in the box, you know. It's time to wake up. It's like, wake up, sleeping giant. I remember saying that many Sundays ago. Wake up, sleeping giant.
One thing that sticks in my craw is God says in the Bible, who will build a tabernacle for me so I can dwell?
That is so beautiful. He says, you know, no longer does God dwell in a tabernacle off here,
made of
or
hands,
a tent, or a tent. I dwell now with men.
Man, that's right, in their hearts.
He didn't say, well, we're going to have Jesus dwell in you, and then Jesus is going to come to me. No, he didn't say that. He says, I'm going to dwell. I'm going to make a habitation. I'm going to make a temple inside man, not made by hands, but made by my spirit. Listen, there are some great men and women of God out there that are even moving in signs and wonders and miracles, still proclaiming the old manna.
Yeah.
But I'm going to tell you right now, it's dry.
Yeah.
It's not thirsty anymore.
Yeah.
We're talking about a new age, millennium generation that is coming in who is dying. Are you willing to lay down that old manna and eat the new manna or drink the new wine for this new generation?
It's the only way you're going to get fed.
Think about it.
There's no other way.
Think about it. Those women out there that have children, you know, they're going to try to bring on this tradition. How about just those that are out here in our audience right now? How did you feel when your mother and your father tried to have you eat a doctrine or a tradition or a religion that just was not setting right in you? And they were forcing you to eat it and it just wasn't tasting good. There you go. Right there. And it's the same thing right now. And this manna, this wine, this water, this banquet table that is being set is what they're hungry for. They're hungry for this. The Spirit of God is going to move and speak, and it's going to touch the hearts of those who are longing, hungering and thirsting. And I'm going to tell you, those that are in the old wineskins, I hope and pray that you strip them off of you as quick as possible. Because I feel that there's a word that is coming inside of me that says, I give them over to a debased mind. Yeah. And if you're not willing to flow like the river is flowing, if you're not willing to surrender your pride because you just don't want to be wrong, you know, you just don't want to feel as though that because you were speaking this, now all of a sudden, oh, well, you know, I got to change my doctrine now. So, you know, what I was speaking in the past is not, you know, working today, and I need to move forward and stop thinking of yourself. I feel that God's going to turn them over to a debased mind. I just feel that he's just going to wash his hands. And like Pastor Tim said earlier, that word that is ringing in our spirit in this ministry, where they came to the Lord and said, but Lord, Lord, we did all these things in your name. And he says, get away from me, you worker of iniquity. I never knew you. And you tell me about that.
Hey, you know, Sam read this a few weeks ago. Pastor Sam, he said, the only sign given will be the sign of Jonah, which is repentance. We live repentance. I mean, this doctrine that we're speaking about, this truth, is a constant repentance, because when you repent, God will give you more revelation.
It's beyond the forgiveness of sin.
Yeah.
It's beyond
forgiveness. I'm not even talking about forgiveness of sin. I'm talking about just repenting and changing the way you're thinking so you can receive the new revelation.
What he's saying is to be transformed by the renewing of your mind.
Yep.
You know, we're all suffering with fear, worry, and anxiety out there. And we've all cried out to Jesus or Muhammad, whoever you're crying out to. But that fear, worry, and anxiety does not leave. You go to bed every night worrying about this, concerned about that, fearing about this, you know, angry about this, bitter about this. There's no peace. There's no joy in your life. There's no healing. No healing at all.
There's no healing.
But there's a truth. There's a truth that you're missing, a will of God for you to have this truth. So it transforms you. It takes you into a different person.
The truth opens up the eyes.
Correct.
So that you can see and understand why there has to be a need to change the way we're thinking. See, let's take a couple of steps back. Okay, and then we're gonna unleash you, Sam, because you got this word inside of you that's burning. The traditions of the religion, and especially along with Jesus, was the remission of sin, taking away guilt and shame.
Yep.
Okay. Well, it's not happening anymore.
No.
When people were coming to the altar and being free from guilt and shame, it was pretty much healing the rest of their body. It was like delivering them from that oppression and that anxiety and the fear and the worry, because they were in this guilt and shame. But there is a new movement, and there's a new sickness out there. This sickness is not conformed with guilt and shame anymore. It's not a remission of sin. It's not the forgiveness of sin. It's deeper than that. It's deeper than guilt and shame. It is literally a pain.
Yeah.
It's a pain and a suffering that ever increased to this generation that's coming. See, that because God's releasing his glory, darkness is also releasing pain and suffering. The pains and sufferings 10, 20 years ago, okay, guilt and shame, if you were free from it, was able to heal your pain. Because of the world and where we're at in the world, of the hustle and the bustle and trying to make ends meet.
Yep.
Shame has a root to it, but it's a deeper pain now. It's an anxiety. It's a depression. It's a disorder that is so deep that people are sick. They're losing sleep over it at night and things of that nature. And being free from sin, knowing that your sins are forgiven and you didn't do anything wrong, is I would say shallow at this point.
It's a spark. That's
It's like taking an aspirin to something that you need something stronger to be set free from. And why do you think that were going to all these deeper drugs out there. You know, they're, I mean, I would have never thought about taking anything equivalent to the power of heroin or something.
50,
you know,
50 times more powerful.
50 more times powerful to be setting free from my oppression and my depression. I would have never, I thought maybe just smoking a joint would have been fine, you know what I mean? Like an aspirin. But now it's where you got to take something deeper.
Right.
Well, God's saying it's time for my glory. Yeah. It's a, well, hallelujah. You know, I'm going to just soak right now in it.
I just saw a show the other night. It was all Naked and Afraid. I'm sure people have watched it out there. And this girl was left by herself. And she feared nothing else but being left by herself, because she said at night when she goes to bed, all she thinks about every night is what she did to people that hurt them, what people did to hurt her. And she said all she does is thinks about that all night. She can't sleep. She can't get through it. She said if I had alcohol or drugs, I'd be fine. But she was stuck in the middle of nowhere, and she was stuck with her own thoughts. And people are laying there every night, and they're laying there thinking about what they did to people and what people did to them in their lives, and they can't sleep. They can't have peace. They can't find it.
Now, let me ask you this question. You think giving them the message of Jesus loves you and that he died on the cross for you is going to set her free?
No, because she was stuck there with a religious guy who was trying to do that.
It was too deep. It's too deep.
He got taken out. He got knocked out and taken out of the game before it was over for a reason.
Yeah, God didn't want it. Correct. He just didn't want it.
Correct.
And listen, I'm not saying we're not dishonoring the glory of Jesus. We're not dishonoring, because I'm going to tell you there is a name in heaven there's an authority in heaven.
Yeah.
And I want to be sitting right next to him. I want to be right there with him when I leave this earth.
Yep.
I hope and pray that God would say to me, well done, you know what? Here you go. Here's a seat right next to me. You know, Jesus and I are going to have to share that seat. That's the way I look at it. And I hope we all are in that same seat, you know, right into the throne room. But with all that being said, the remission of sin, trying to take away that, telling them about Jesus and how he died on the cross and took away the sins and all that, it just isn't doing it.
It's not doing it.
It's an aspirin to the sickness that is out there today.
You know, to back his point, what the Bible says about Jesus is there's no other foundation laid than that which is Jesus Christ. And what that foundation is saying is that what Jesus did on the earth, he came in the garden. If we all remember the story in the garden, he was about to be crucified. And he sat with the apostles and he basically said to God, he said, if it be your will, Father, let this cup pass from before me. I don't want to go die for the sins of the world. If you have a better plan, I'm all for it.
Yep.
But he said these words, and this is the foundation of Jesus Christ right here. This is the whole foundation of Jesus Christ. Not my will, Father, but your will be done. There was two different wills there. Jesus' will and the Father's will. They weren't the same. They were different. Jesus had his will to get the heck out of Dodge and run. And he said God's will was to submit to the plan that God had set before him in his life and just deal with it. You know, we all run from decisions we have to make in our lives. We all try to run from the hard times instead of dealing with courage and covering up our feelings with drugs and alcohol. And that girl laying there naked and afraid couldn't cover him up. She was covering him up every night with drugs and alcohol, but she was stuck out in the middle of nowhere, and she had to deal with herself, and she wasn't willing to do that. She quit. But, you know, it might take a little bit of time. See, the truth does hurt. The truth hurts, but the truth will set you free. And dealing with your problems with courage, dealing with your thinking and courage, many of us just drown out our own thoughts. We drown out our own guilt and I said it before, guilt and shame. It just covers us up. It keeps talking to us. You were wrong. You were wrong. You've been wrong. You've been wrong. Oh, they were so horrible to you. They shouldn't have done it. You shouldn't have done it to them. It's just a constant covering up of what you're not dealing with. You're not dealing with the truth. You're not accepting it, you know, and you're just covering it up.
Well, with the truth, it comes with the relationship with God.
Correct.
God is truth. And to know God, you know truth. And by truth, that's where we can come to a place of changing the way we're thinking.
That's right.
This is the sign of Jonah in the last days.
It's where you become one with that, too.
Yeah.
You know, where, you know, we were talking about it last week, where if you don't line up with the truth and let it abide in you and you become one with it, you're not becoming one with God.
You're not coming one with God. No,
you know, you're under some false. You're under some false pretense of doctrine.
The truth is setting yourself free.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
It's not holding yourself guilty or anyone else guilty for what they did to you in the past, but just accepting what happened and moving on, forgetting what lies behind, but you move on, you press forward. That's the truth.
It, in order to get to this place, in order to get to repentance, not the remission of sin,
no,
but repentance in changing the way you're thinking, is only through the Father.
Correct.
A relationship with God is the only way in this hour. Yeah. There's a sickness that is deep. It goes beyond the remission of sin.
Yes.
It's past that. When Jesus was at the cross and he says, not my will, but your will be done. Okay. What was happening at that hour was God taking away a tradition, a pattern of a remission of sin. He was destroying the altar and the shedding of animals' blood at that Correct. Time. Yeah. There was a law that man was written through the Old Testament, which was on tablets of stone in the glory of God. But that was to lead them and guide them and continue to build them to a deeper relationship or a knowledge of who God was. Yeah. When Jesus finally laid his life down, he became that lamb that was what would have been put on the altar, okay? And because God was taking sacrifices out completely, that meant that no one now had to bring an animal to the altar. I'm using one big animal, Jesus. I'm using one big lamb for the whole world because I'm not taking any more blood sacrifices.
It's not accepted anymore.
This is where Jesus came and took away the sins of the world. What he did was he took away the traditions of a blood sacrifice in that day.
Correct. That's where it ended.
Now, God is saying in this hour, let's move on. Okay, it's been 2,000 years now. In the eyes of God, it probably was only 2 days, okay? Because one day is 1,000 years to the Lord. So it's 2 days in God's eyes that said, okay, enough with the blood sacrifice thing now. Look, it's the changing the way you're thinking.
The only sacrifice I look for now is your will.
That's it.
That's right. Lay your will down. Follow my will.
Exactly.
Lay your will
right.
down, follow my will, and that which makes you righteous in my eyes.
That's right.
Because now I'll abide with you and you abide with me.
Correct.
Simple as that.
The reason why depression is so strong on the generation today is because they just can't accept what is happening in their life.
That's because exactly of strong right. will. It's their strong
it's
will.
It's a strong will. It's they strong are will. Fighting yep. with the wind.
That's right.
They
That's
are the fighting That's against the tide. They can't understand it. Life is not a bowl of cherries, so to say.
No.
Even though God, you know, life offers you a box of chocolate, you never
something.
Know what you're gonna get.
You've been lied to. There's no Santa Claus, there's no Easter bunny, there's no unicorns with lollipops and roses. Life is hard. And it's a fight every day. Life is difficult. And Paul says, I die daily. You know, it's a daily battle to lay your will down and fight. But you know, you've been lied to. Your parents lied to you when you were younger, told you were princes and princesses, and you grow up and you say, wait a minute, this world's not full of princes, it's full of mean people and nasty people who are gonna hurt you and use you and abuse you. And you're not taught that. When that happens, you get shocked and you get scared and you go back in a shell and you don't know how to deal with it. Well, we'll teach you how to deal with it. We'll teach you how to get over it. We have this spoken message in here over and over every week, building a foundation, building a house that you can live in, a house of peace and a house of joy. And we've been preaching on this for years and years and years. So listen, log on to the messages, get them into you. You know, over and over again, you're going to start seeing and learning the principles that we're speaking here that are going to build your house that you can dwell in.
And there is, you know, a way to overcome. Those that are listening that are encamped in depression, anxiety, maybe infixated by the pressures that are on us because, listen, it's not easy out there, okay? And yes, it would be great if we all won the lottery, okay? But if you knew the truth, and this is where we're emphasizing, I'm not going to introduce you to Jesus.
No.
God loves the whole world. So this message is for the Muslims, the Buddhists, the Hindus. Oh, hallelujah.
One God.
You see?
Yep.
One God. It's for the Jews.
I desire
Listen,
to be no divisions among
that's
you.
Right. None. None in this hour.
God wants
none.
God wants one religion, not the world.
Yeah. And that's love.
Love, God of love.
Not for us to be a bunch of pansies, no. But for us to love God and to trust in him with all our heart. I used to say, God didn't create you to destroy you.
That's right. Right.
He's got a plan. He's got a purpose. He's got a future.
Promises, yes.
And the thing is we destroy ourselves by the way we're thinking.
Yeah.
And, you know,
it's true.
The old doctrine, I don't even want to call myself a Christian, but at the same time, I know who Christ is. So it's like I can't deny Christian
right.
because of the Christ, the divine nature of God, the seed of Godship, the Godhead that is dwelling inside of us. And there is a seed of Christ in each and every one of us so that when we speak, we're watering that seed. And if you receive that water, it's like nurturing a seed that is in the ground. And you water it, it's going to start springing up. And when that springs up, it's going to spring up fruit. And this is what we want in your life. Right now, you're dead. You're dying, and you're dying because your mind is not renewed. You're not thinking right. You have conformed yourself to the ways of the world. You're not repenting. It's all like, woe is me. I got a bad hand of cards, and I am not happy because I'm not from a wealthy family. I don't have money. You don't understand. It takes things to get life, and I don't have life because I don't have things.
Their strong will is living.
I gotta tell you, right?
And it's living, and the sick. Christ seed in them has never come up.
It's just sick.
It's the strong will. Because they're trying to figure everything out. They're trying to make things happen. They're frustrated it's not happening.
They have envy.
They have
strife.
You know, it's a constant fight.
This is what God's saying right now. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. And you will call on me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me, and you will find me with all your heart. I will be found by you, declares the Lord, and will bring you back from captivity. I will gather you from all the nations and places where I have banished you, declares the Lord, and I will bring you back to the place from which I carried you into exile. That's what God's saying right now to the people.
Exile
was
the religions. That's really what it is. The exiles were the religions.
Yeah.
Because they didn't know God in the
separation
true sense.
From the prophets.
Yep.
Exactly.
You know, it's not about trying to convert the whole world into one religion. It's about getting everyone to change the way they're thinking and believe in one God.
That's right.
And that's what it comes down to. You know, every religion out there has one God.
Yeah.
The division is all the prophets
right.
and the traditions and the doctrines
yeah.
of men. Let's just take the truth.
Yeah.
Simple as that. It's simple. And let's just start changing the way we're thinking and begin to worship God and him only.
That's right.
Yep.
The God of faith.
Even Jesus said, worship God and him only.
The creator. Our right. creator. You know, give me 5 minutes with somebody and I'm gonna resolve them with all their problems. The question is, will they accept the truth? More than likely, they'll deny it. They want a quick fix. Give me $10,000 and my whole life will change. Give
gone.
Me an opportunity that I can be rich and famous and all my troubles will go away.
But you don't change the way you think, so the patterns you're suffering will keep repeating themselves over and over. And
exactly
so you change
right.
the way you think.
Exactly right.
Never change. It's called insanity. Doing the same things over and over, looking for different results.
The crazy thing is, the truth is opposite to what you think. You know, God says, give all your stuff away. Give, and you shall receive.
Right.
Peace.
Exactly right.
When you give away your anxiety and your worries and your fears, guess what comes back? Peace.
Peace.
Joy.
Yep.
Because now you're living empty. You know, when you hold on to the other things, it's your willpower that's holding all
lay
that
down your life.
And you know.
There's two things that happen inside of us. For one, lies. We are lying to ourselves tremendously. We
mm-hmm.
became best friends with lie.
That's right.
We literally believe and trust and lie to where it's like our best friend. It's our other half. It's our other half. And we feel that if we had this, things will be better. And we believe it. And a lot of times when someone says, well, that's not true, you don't know what you're talking about. All right, well, let's do a test. Let me give you what you think will bring you peace. You'll and see. Then you tell me in 5 months or 6 months if you have any more peace.
That's the lie. That's right. Yeah.
I am an example, a prime example. We are a prime example, but I'm going to just throw myself under the bus. I have nothing. But I'm going to tell you right now, all my needs are provided.
That's right.
Somehow, amen, some way, God makes a way and provides my need. Okay? I could be really, really miserable. I could be kicking and screaming because, you know, I don't have this or I don't have that. Or I could just think that everything was just dumped on me, you know, as I'm carrying these burdens. But the more I look unto the heavens, the more I glorify God and thank Him for being even alive. Thank Him for giving me the spirit that is bringing this truth in my heart. Thank You for the things that I do have, not the things that I don't have.
There you go.
My heart begins to accept the day. And my day seems to go by really fast. And it's not like I have to dwell and be upset. I have peace. And you know, I have this thing in my heart, if it's the Lord's will. I don't lose hope. I have visions and I have dreams and I have ambitions and I step to them. If it doesn't happen that day, I still hope. I still dream. I'll never lose my dreams.
You do.
I say, one day, could it be today, Lord? You know, there is the impossible is possible in the eyes of God when you know the truth.
Right, and you don't let discouragement set in. Because that's one thing that's out there in the world that people come up. It doesn't happen right away. All of a sudden, this spirit of discouragement comes in, and it ruins their life. I mean, I got people that I know, they dwell back 20 years ago. What happened 20 years ago, they're still living by it.
Yeah, they're the old glory day hoppers, I call them. But, you know, you need to dwell on the eternal life. If you dwell on this life, you're going to lose your life in the sense of having a joy and peace. You need to dwell on eternal. You know, I want the eternal life. This life in this world, if I become, I don't know, For one, famous doesn't even matter at this point.
No.
Success doesn't even matter at this point. I'm like 52 years old. I just want to make it to 60 or 70. You know what I mean? At this point in my life. I mean, it's like to try to rebuild another life is just, you know, when I was 20, I spoke about and thought about building a life, you know? When I'm 50 now, I'm just looking at just having a life, enjoying today, enjoying the sun, enjoying the stars in the sky, the striving and the hustle and the bustle, the vanity,
toil.
It's all vanity, and it once you understand the truth truly sets you free. It's very hard not to be set free if you don't see the truth.
Yeah.
And that's the moral of this movement in the eyes of God. It's not about the prophets anymore. It's not about anything to do with the prophets. I kind of feel bad in a way. It's almost like I'm saying, bon voyage, see you later. It was good while it lasted at that moment.
We're throwing a party.
But it's time to move on. And I really don't know what those that are out there that base their whole livelihood on the old manna, so to say, when they have to basically try to renounce it and start anew, because it's like starting all over again. And they're probably going to lose all their followers because they just can't come to that point. I don't know.
I believe the mighty men of God that are in heavenly places now are rejoicing because they're like, yeah, you know, you're there's a message that's bringing a relationship to the Father, and that's what our whole message was, and it got twisted and turned into something entirely different,
and all this
and the
division,
Father never got glorified,
and all these divisions.
You know, Paul gave a huge clue here, and you know, it's amazing that he never met Jesus, but he wrote 3/4 of this book we call the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
He never met him one time.
Never
he never even met him, but he wrote 3/4 of this book we call the Bible. The man who never met him, but he said this. He said, hold on.
Wherever he was going.
Oh, I lost it. Go ahead, I'll come back.
Okay. It's all right.
Dun.
Yes. No, yes. There you go. She's in there. He said, I count everything as dung that I might gain him the more. Everything I ever learned, everything I ever built my foundation on, I count as nothing, so that I might gain him the more. And that was the biggest clue he could give us.
To know God the more.
Yeah, he counted everything. And he was a very educated man. He was very educated mm-hmm. in everything he ever went through. And he said, I count everything I ever learned as nothing to gain him the more. And that's what we ought to be the same way. You know, we all have old wine and old wineskins. And God's saying, listen, it's time to forget everything and open yourself up and receive this new wine. And that's what it's all about tonight.
You know, God is love. And I heard a testimony earlier today where a gentleman was trying to share Jesus to a Jewish woman. And the Jewish woman slammed the door on him. Didn't want to have nothing to do with him. Didn't want to hear from him. Which is sad because now there's division.
Yep.
If he would have just said, let me share you about God, the Father. Let me share you about the love of the Father. I would have guaranteed that the door would have been open.
Because it's her yep. God, too.
Yep.
It's her God, too.
Correct.
And this is love. You know, saw a Muslim at the gas station. And I asked him, what are you? And I'm sorry, he wasn't a Muslim. He was a Sikh. Is that a Sikh? Is that a Muslim?
No.
Oh, that is a form of Muslim. I have some people in the audience saying yes, no. It's a Sikh. Sikh and Muslim are not the same. Okay. So I went to, he's a Sikh. And I went to him and I asked him, I said, do you know God? And he was like, what are you talking about? I know Sikh. I know my religion. I said, but do you know God? Do you have a relationship with God? And he got nervous. He got scared. He didn't know how to answer. He was like, it's almost like he was too holy to have a relationship with him. Mm. It was like, I know the laws, and I know this, the concept of the traditions,
yep.
but to say I know God, he didn't know what to say at that point. I know God. You see? I know who he is. You know, and it's nice to know that he knows you too. And I want our listeners and those that are here to have that confidence to know that they are living a life that has a sound that is resonating in the heavenlies. We were speaking last Sunday about heaven has a sound. And that sound is not the sound in the earth. So you can ramble on all kinds of words. It doesn't mean that God is hearing your prayers. There's a sound that has to be made, and that sound goes along with your character, the way your heart is established. And when your heart is established, God can hear you.
In that brokenness.
Humility. In that trust. Yep. In that love of exhortation, of knowing who he is, the creator of the heavens and the earth. When your heart is molded and formed in that glory,
joy,
there's a sound in heaven that reaches the Father's ears.
To make a joyful noise.
So when you go and leave this earth, he doesn't say these, get away from me, you worker of iniquity, I never knew you. Because the work that you're doing is conforming to the holiness of God, conforming to who he is, the majestic glory that he is, the authority and the power and the realm of creation of the heavens and the earth, and that his love for you is ever increasing and unconditional. and he has a life and he established a purpose, and you don't lose hope. Even if you're having a bad day, you know tomorrow is going to be a good day. You know that you're walking closer and closer to your destiny every day. And if you don't have this heart and you don't have this mind, then there's another force that comes and robs, steals, kills, and destroys your future. And this is what God says. Tell my people about me, because I am tired that they are suffering and they are being destroyed because of lack of knowledge. You see, there are people out there that have a heart to know God. They want to follow his will. They want the prosperity and the blessings of God. But they're so far from him that they're never obtaining it. And there's a force that is coming in, robbing, stealing, and destroying their destiny to the point where they're now questioning, is there really a God?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yes, there is. But you're going about it the wrong way. It's like you're fornicating and you're lusting and you're committing adultery and all these. And these aren't earthly things, okay? These are spiritual things. Spiritual adultery, spiritual fornication, spiritual lust, spiritual this.
With the prophets.
Yes.
And with traditions.
And you're rules. Dark. You're dirty.
Yeah.
And you're trying to come to him in holiness? It isn't happening. Listen, earthly fornication is different than spiritual fornication. How many people understand that? Earthly lust is different than heavenly lust is different than heavenly covetousness. Okay? So we have to understand and know the Spirit and live according to the Spirit. God doesn't care what you do on earth. He cares about what you're doing in the heavenlies, in the Spirit. You see, Jesus tried to lead us in that direction when he says, if you have hatred in your heart, you committed murder. Yep. You know, if you have lust in your heart, you've committed fornication or whatever.
Adultery.
Yep. Yeah. Adultery. Okay. He was trying to lead us into that heavenly realm, in that spiritual place. Yep. And this is why Pastor Sam said it's so important that you continue to log on and get under these teachings, because the knowledge that we're giving you is only directing you and establishing you with a relationship to the Father.
That's right.
So that when you do pray, when your heart is asking, God, please, I would like you to release this opportunity, or this is the desire of my heart. Please open up the heavens and allow me to walk in it. How many people have hope here? You know, how many people want to accomplish things? Well, where do you think that came from? It's the Father's will for your life. The question is, how come it's not here now?
Right.
Well, there's
he says
darkness.
You ask amiss.
That's right. There's
why
darkness.
Why are you asking amiss?
Well, the amiss is that spiritual darkness that we're walking in.
Right.
And because of lack of knowledge, we are suffering.
And that's where stuff's being stolen.
Exactly right. And that's why it's important to understand and learn this knowledge that we're giving you. This food, this water, this information. And it's, you know, listen, I know people that could probably quote everything that we're saying. It ain't going to help you.
Nope.
You have to apply it. You have to put it in your heart.
Live it.
You have to live it.
Yep.
I'm at the point in my life where I don't care what happens. Things might be taken away, things might prosper. But the fact is, I always need to trust God.
That's right.
I need to thank him in all things, whether they're good or bad, whatever it is. Is our heart thanking him? This is the beginning stages of knowing who God is.
A statement we always say in here, and it's vital, is just the he always said, you know, who's ultimately in control in every situation? You know, you got to step back and realize who's ultimately in control. And it's not you. It's not the world. It's God. And he's in control of everything.
Here's a good analogy. Let's say you just want to start having a relationship with God. And the enemy, darkness, devil, Satan, whatever you want to say, is robbing your future because you were walking in ignorance, let's just say. And you just didn't know. And you have a foundation of scripture or foundation, and you're just never coming into your hopes. They're just being robbed. Here's an opportunity for you to start fresh. Start thanking him. Even if the darkness is stealing right what's under your feet, thank him. Glorify him. Praise his name. And guess what? That's showing that you love him, and he turns all things around for the good to those who love him.
It shows.
And we need to start loving him now.
It shows faith as a grain of mustard seed. So if you have that much faith, you can move a mountain. A little bit of faith, just a little bit of trust goes a long way. And by accepting it, like Pastor just said, it's going to open a door for your life. It really is.
You got to do it now.
Yeah.
You got to step up and do it now. You have to start loving him. And the only way that you can show love towards God is start rejoicing in all things. Accepting. And if you don't start rejoicing in all things now, you'll never see your future. You'll never see it because the enemy will rob it. And you can try opening up the doors in your own will, but I'm going to tell you right now, it won't last. It will fall. It will fall because the pride of man has opened that door. Take what I'm saying. But if you glorify God through it all, then God will open up a door where no man can shut. And he will shut those bad doors that no man can shut. You see, and he'll open those doors that no man can open, is what I was saying earlier. But you need to really understand the truth. And it might take a month. It might take as quick as 2 days. It might take a year. I look at it as, how miserable have we been walking? Yeah. You know, if we've been walking for 10 years in misery, you know, if God graces us for 5 years of rejoicing, you know what? We finished our sentence pretty early. That's the way I look at it, you know? It's a give and take kind of thing. God's love for us is beyond what we can comprehend or imagine. And if our heart truly wants to see the glory of God, truly wants to see, because I said before in the past, there is no God. There is no God until he touches your life.
Right.
Until he does something supernatural in your life, there is no God. So in order for God to manifest himself, we got to begin to walk in these steps here. And then God will begin to, and if you're sincere, I truly believe if you apply this truth right now, I just believe that there is an anointing on this message right now, that if you do say, Lord, I repent. I have been walking in the desert for 40 years, and I haven't realized that you have given me the opportunity to be free. And if you start glorifying him, I guarantee within the week you'll start seeing opportunity.
Right.
You'll start getting phone calls that you never thought you would get. You would start getting people coming into your life looking to help you or whatever it might be. He'll turn all things around for the good.
There you go.
To those who show love to him.
Start with glorifying him.
That's right. And the beginning of showing that love is beginning to accept everything and start having a grateful heart and start thanking him in all things.
Surrender, accept, and receive his will.
Exactly right. Now, this sounds like it's simple, but it's so powerful. It's so powerful. I look at individuals out there, and I look at them, and I say, you know what? You have no right to feel depressed. You have no right to look like, you know, you have lost your best friend. You have no rights to act this way. You have no idea the powers of darkness and how quickly it can come in and destroy you. If I was you, I would change the way you're thinking so that your heart begins to rejoice and be glad. Because for one, you might be too young. You're too young to be like this. You know, I know that there are people out there listening right now that are young in age and they are camped with depression. For what?
Sick and tired of being sick.
They haven't even gotten to the point where they got their feet wet.
Yep.
They don't even know what it's like yet to be bound by the pressures of the world yet. Try holding a family. Try feeding children. Try upholding a mortgage. Try upholding and paying the electric and the gas and everything else. Try just doing those things. When you have no bills and you're coveting and you're just like complaining and murmuring, and I'm going to tell you right now, you're sick. You're sick. Bottom line, you got to get out of your self-pity.
That's right.
Yeah.
You got pleasures that you want to fulfill, and you're fulfilling fleshly pleasures.
Yep.
Period. And you better repent, because God's going to strip you away. You'll get your pleasures, and guess what? You'll go further and further down into the pit.
Yep. God's had enough.
God had enough.
He's had enough. And he's offering you, his hand and saying, listen, take my hand and walk with me. And here's the opportunity. And if you pass it up, this might be the last chance you ever have. This might be the last chance you ever have to repent. And God's saying, this is your chance right now. This is your chance. If you're sick and tired of being sick and tired, take his hand right now and repent. Ask him.
If we had an altar call right now, I would say, come to the altar and accept God into your heart.
Yep. That's right.
Accept God, our Creator, our Heavenly Father. Accept him now.
You can do it right now where you're at.
You can do it right now.
Do it.
Oh, hallelujah.
Do it right now.
You can say, God, come into my heart. I am sorry for grumbling. Sorry for complaining. I am so sorry for walking in this depression. I am sorry for acting like a spoiled little brat. I am sorry, Lord, forgive me, because I am so grateful that I have a sound mind. I'm so grateful I have 2 feet to walk on. I am so grateful for even being able to have people in my life that care. I'm so grateful that you give me talents. I'm so grateful that you gave me abilities. I'm so grateful that you gave me a mouth to talk and the eyes to read.
Begin to thank them.
Yes, thank them for rejoice. 5 fingers thank on em. Your hands.
Thank them.
Start except praising them.
Thank them.
Except the rejoicing.
Well, I want to thank those that are listening. We got the red light on. That means we're done. We're out of time. We could go on and on and on. But with this truth that is being told, there's an urgency out there now. And it's time to lay the prophets down. And it's time to start worshiping
the God of
the
love.
True and the living God. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. God bless.
Amen.
Yeah.